Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Hello, everybody. So good to see you. Welcome to 2026. Can you believe it? What on earth? It's 2026. And so, church, I want you to help me welcome all our guests today. If you're a guest in any one of our locations, we are one church in four locations. We want to say a huge welcome. Put your hands together, everybody. All our guests, welcome, welcome, welcome. If you're moving into Sydney, new to Sydney, if you're looking for a church, if you've never been in church before, if you're new to Jesus, we want to say a massive welcome today. If you're seeking, if you're looking for God, there's going to be an opportunity for you today to turn to Christ, to turn to Him as your Lord and Savior. And we just want to say a huge welcome on behalf of Jessen, my wife and I. We want to say a massive welcome to C3 SYD. And so we are kicking off the year. We love kicking off the year. And we're going into a six-week message series called First Things First. Everybody, First Things First. Now, come with me. Anyone, you like chess? Do you like chess? Have a look. This is chess. And the thing that is best to do with chess, if you are setting up the board, you haven't got your pieces on the board, the most important piece on the board that you need to put in place is the king. Come on, everybody. You need to put the king in its place first. Because when you get the king right, you can get all the other pieces in order. The queen goes next to the king, then you get the bishop on either side, then you get the horses next to the bishops, you get the castles, and then highly recommend you put the pawns on after. You like that? But you got to remember, the most important piece on the board to get in its place first that makes the biggest difference to winning or losing when it comes to chess is the king. Amen. Come on. First things first. What am I trying to say? When it comes to God, when it comes to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we need to get Him in His rightful place, which is first. First things first. Go to Matthew 6, verse 25. I'm reading in the NIV. And at the top of this passage, it says, "Do not worry." Come on, everybody, say, "Do not worry." Very good. Verse 25. It says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" Verse 28, "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, King Solomon, in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But," verse 33, key verse, but seek first. Everyone say first. You sound amazing. First, his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, here it is again, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. As we go for the next 6 weeks through First Things First, I want to remind you that we have a YouVersion devotional. Go to the YouVersion app, type in C3SYD, and you're going to find our latest devotional. Every message series, we have a devotional that goes alongside it. And if you want to go deeper in the Word of God, if you want to unpack further what we are downloading today, what we are launching today, we want you to use that as an incredible tool. In Connect Group, we're able to discuss what God is saying to us through our message series, through the scripture we're in. But then we have our YouVersion devotional. If you want more, if you're hungry for more, make sure you use that. The context of Matthew 6 is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And so Jesus, we read in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, it's three chapters, but it's actually one sermon. It's the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is addressing the issue of worry, and he says, do not worry. And it is actually a command. So it's a command to not worry. And it's one thing to not worry, but we need the answer of what do we replace our worry with? And that's what Jesus speaks to when we come to the key verse, Matthew 6, 33. But before we get there, we need to understand that this chapter is dealing with anxiety. And the word here is merimnao, which means to be anxious. And this is in the Greek, which refers essentially to a state of mind, or another way of saying it is being over-concerned about. That's what this word means, worry, anxiety. And obviously, this kind of anxiety will be revealed in, frenzied activity if we're rushing around. But what Jesus is really referring to is a mindset, an attitude, a heart posture that is not over-concerned with material things. Really, he's saying that the root of a lot of our worry is because we are over-concerned about material things. So in forbidding anxiety, because that's what he's saying, forbidding worry. Now, we're not talking about chemical imbalance here. We're talking about an over-concerned brain with material things. We're talking about here, Jesus saying, hey, do not worry. Do not worry. But what he is trying to help us understand is that doesn't mean you don't be responsible. It's not that you don't have any concerns or you're not being responsible with things. It's when you have an over-exercised and a too much focus on what you are worried about. You know, people say worry is like sitting in a rocking chair. Keeps you moving but takes you nowhere. And so you're overthinking things. You're over-concerned with material things. This is what Jesus is speaking to. And what he is trying to help us see is that there is priorities and that we need to get in the Tyndale commentary. It literally says that this essential message in this passage is first things first. First things first, which means, in fact, to put God first. First things first. That if we can trust God with our bodies, he's made us. If we can trust God to sustain us, we're going to find that we can live a life free from worry. But then if I'm free from worry, what should I take that time, that energy, that focus where I was focused on worry, what should it go towards? In other words, what should replace my worry? Matthew 6:33 gives us the answer. It says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This is the preoccupation of the followers of Jesus. Rather than worrying about material things, we take our energy, our time, our heart, and our mind, and we focus it on his kingdom and his righteousness. So, let's come to Matthew 6, 33, and I want you to see this. We're going to look at some of the Greek words and its meaning of this passage of Scripture. Really important passage of Scripture. It says, but seek. Now, this word seek is a verb. It's a present active imperative. And what that means is it means continuously. It does not mean occasional pursuit. It means continuous pursuit. It means a lifestyle, come on everybody, of seeking. It doesn't mean once a week I seek God. It doesn't mean once a month I seek God. It means I am in a constant posture and lifestyle of seeking God. And the Greek word there is zetiet. Then we come to the word thirst. And this is the Greek word proton, which means first in order, first in priority, first in importance. But this word does not mean, listen, this word does not mean do this before other tasks. It does not mean you put it in a list. It means more than that. It doesn't mean that God's at the top of the task list. It means that his kingdom and his righteousness is our primary pursuit. This word thirst means chief. It means foremost. It means preeminent. First here means that his kingdom, that's an E, is the preeminent priority of our lives. That above everything, above family even, above our children, above our finances, above every area of life. He is first, preeminent, chief, foremost. Kingdom, the word kingdom, it's a big Greek word, ten basilion, which means not a geographical kingdom, not a place. It's talking about rule. It's talking about reign. It's talking about authority. Seek, have a lifestyle of pursuit for the preeminence of God's kingdom, his rule and reign in your life. Seek, this is what it means, seek the rule of God, his authority, his will, his dominion. Seek his rule and reign in your life. First, as the preeminent thing of your life, seek his rule. Okay, then his righteousness. What does this mean? This is the word kaiten dikiosianen. And I'm sure I got that wrong. It's a big word. You can Google it later. His righteousness. And this righteousness speaks of God's standard. God's standard. The standard of God. This righteousness is not talking about man-made righteousness. It's not talking about self-righteousness. It's talking about God's standard of righteousness. Now remember, grace is the power to do what truth demands. Grace is not the lowering of God's standards. Grace is the power to live up to the standard of God, God's way of living, God's way of doing things. God's instruction, God's standards for us, which are put in place to bless us, not to harm us. We live according to his standard by the power of his grace. The Holy Spirit in our lives enables us to live up to the standard of God. Seek, pursue as a lifestyle, as the most important thing in your life, his rule, his reign, and his standard. And then keep with me. Then it says, in all these things is referring to food, drink, clothing, daily needs. The Greek word is kai tauta panta, and that's food, drink, it's material things. But then it says will be added, and this is the word prosthesetai. Prosthesetai is talking about future passive indicative. That's what that word is. It's a future passive indicative word, which means the important nuance here is because it is passive, it means it's God that adds. It's God that provides. It is not us doing it. It is God doing it. It's Him supplying what we lack. It's not reward for works. It's kingdom overflow as we pursue continuously God's domain, God's rule and reign, God's standard for our lives. As we pursue it as the most important thing in our lives, God will do the adding. All the material things that we think we need, and we do need, God will look after when He is first. How you doing, everybody? God first. That's enough Greek for one day. Make His kingdom, His dominion, His righteousness, His standard, the preeminent pursuit, the primary purpose of your life, and all these other things He will provide when we get first things first. First things first. Here's a good question. Why put God first? Maybe you're here today like, what? Why is this important? Why should we do this? Why should you put God first? Can I tell you why? There are many reasons, but the most important reason I want you to hear today on why put God first is because, you ready? Are you ready? You ready? Lean in, everybody. It's because He is first. Whether He is first in your life or not, God is first. He is not second. He is first. He is supreme. Isaiah 41 verse 4 says, I, the Lord, the first and the last, I am He. Isaiah 44 verse 6, thus says the Lord, I am the first and the last, and besides me there is no God. There is no other God. Every other little g God is a false God. Every other religion worships a false God. The God of the Bible, Yahweh, He is the first and the last, and there is no other God beside Him. Isaiah 48 verse 12, I am He, I am the first, I am also the last. He says it a lot. Revelation 1 17, fear not, I am the first and the last. Revelation 2 verse 8, the words of the first and the last who died and came to life, talking about Jesus. Revelation 22 13, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Colossians 1:18, He is the first in everything. Colossians 1:15, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Colossians 1:17, He is before all things. Hebrews 1 verse 6, and again, when He brings the firstborn Jesus Christ into the world. Can I tell you, everybody, God is first. Come on, amen. Whether He's first in your life or not, He is first. And so when you align your life to God first, you are agreeing with what is true. When God is not first in your life, you are aligned to a lie. If the framework of our life is without God as first, we are living in a deception. We are deceived, and deception will always rob, kill, and destroy. The devil is called the father of lies. And one of the greatest lies that he will peddle into your life is that God is not first. That it's okay to have God somewhere in the mix of life. That a lukewarm, apathetic relationship with God where he's in the mix, but he's not really preeminent, he's not really Lord, he's not really first, that's okay. That is a lie. That is not true. When we live congruent with the truth, that is, God is first, we are set free. Our life comes into order. Life starts to make sense. We start to see clearly. We start to have our life how it's meant to look. When first things are first, it blesses our lives because we are in alignment with the truth. It's kind of like if this camera was to go out of frame. Look at that, look at that. It's kind of like if this camera was to go out of focus. Everybody, when God is not first, our life is out of order. What is meant to be the central context of our life, God first, it's all out of whack. When God's not first, our life is out of focus. It's not clear. It's confusing. There's deception. There's lies. We end up unclear about our future. And so if you're trying to have a healthy marriage out without God first, if you're trying to have finances in order without God first, if you're trying to live a healthy, strong life without God first, it's out of frame and it's out of focus. And you might have some areas in frame and some areas in focus, but we need every area of our life, in our relationships, in our work, in our downtime, with our children, with our spouses, with our friends. We need God first, not in just one area, not just on Sundays, but in every area. And listen to me, as soon as you put God first in your life comes back into frame, hello, and your life comes back into focus, there it is, and now you are living in alignment to the truth. And the truth will set you free.